The gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the gospel according to St. John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. And if you would like to follow along, you may do so on page 109 of your New Testament. Hear now these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. After daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but then the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, do you know everything? You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out of your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, William. I love this story from John of Jesus' third appearance to the apostles. The details of this story are wonderful and they are meaningful and they are especially appropriate for today. Today, as you all well know, is Native American Ministry Sunday, but it is also Earth Day, a time when Americans are reminded of our dependence upon the earth and the fragility of the global ecosystem. So I'd like you to think about this story of Jesus that William read in light of these other meanings for today. The apostles who are reunited with Jesus in this reading are all fishermen, working people who have returned to their regular jobs in hopes of getting away from the painful recollections of the week just past, the week when Jesus was crucified. Simon Peter and his buddies are hoping to make sense of what has happened by returning to the routines of their daily lives. Jesus comes to these people while they are fishing. He cares for their basic human needs by offering them food, and he calls them to continue to follow the path of the Father. Jesus understood very well the lifestyle and the culture of these fishermen. He understood their close connections to the land, to the water, to the sky, and to the creatures that filled their nets. That brings to mind the people who inhabited Colorado and the entire United States before Europeans came on the scene. Native Americans, Indian peoples. Just like these fishermen apostles, Native Americans have a traditional connection to the earth, a deep and all-pervasive connection to the land, to the water, to the sky, and to the creatures who share the earth with them. This traditional view of the Aboriginal people of North America is very similar to the worldview of the Israelite people of the Hebrew Bible and the worldview of the apostles as well. All of these people had a perspective on the earth and a lifestyle that was more in line with God's plan than that which many people live out today. When God created the heavens and the earth, the sky, the waters, human beings, and all the plants and animals that would inhabit this new world, God saw that it was good. And God appointed human beings to be wise stewards of this amazing earthly creation. God asked that people care for each other and for the natural world as well. When people turned away from God and began to sin, it was God's plan always to return to this original design of creation from Genesis. And through the work of Jesus Christ, it was also God's plan to come back to a new covenant with God's people, a return to the kingdom of God, where people lived lives of salvation and grace in harmony with the earth. When Jesus returned to the disciples in this story, he was empowering them to continue his work on earth. He was ordaining them to a life of service. By modeling this plan of God, Jesus was helping the apostles to use and to care for the resources in their stewardship, both God's creation and God's people. This was the way of the Hebrew people and the way of Native Americans as well, to love and care for God's creation and God's people. Today and every day, Jesus is calling us to the very same task, to care for the earth and for each other. Many Christians, perhaps many of us here today, see the enormity of this calling, and we are overwhelmed. How can we possibly make a difference? How can we possibly participate in God's kingdom here on earth? In light of global warming and air pollution and species extinction, in light of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, genocide in Darfur, and horrific murders at Virginia Tech, how can we as people of God possibly care for the earth and for each other? But that's the key. We are God's people, followers of Jesus Christ, empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit. We are people who are called to make little steps toward God's kingdom. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, and each of us takes that first step with Jesus Christ. There are small things that we can do every day that will move us forward toward that ideal of God's creation design. Think about it. To help protect our earth, we can recycle cans and bottles and paper. I walk out of here every Sunday and I'm amazed at how many times we miss that opportunity to recycle. We have bins in our parking lot, and we simply need to set those recyclables aside and put them into those bins. If you're interested, you can buy a mug or bring one from home to use during our coffee fellowship time and our community meals. By reusing a washable mug, this can make a huge difference compared to throwing out hundreds of styrofoam cups every year. We can replace electric light bulbs in our church and in our homes. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, if every American household were to replace just one light bulb with an energy-efficient compact fluorescent light bulb, the energy saved could light more than 2.5 million homes for a year and would prevent greenhouse gases equivalent to the emissions of nearly 800,000 cars. Just one light bulb. Think about it. And these are just three suggestions. And I know that we can come up with hundreds more good ideas. Little things that can make a big difference. Caring for each other in meaningful ways. We can donate money to Native American ministries to reach out and help Native peoples, give them a shot at a good theological education. We can learn about and try to really understand other cultures, Tongans, Ghanaians, Mexicans, by attending worship services, by making an effort to learn a few words of another language, by welcoming people, really welcoming people on an individual and personal basis. We can volunteer to help out at church by taking a role on a committee or counting money or helping Dawn with the bookkeeping, by helping out with the upcoming yard sale and neighborhood festival on June 2nd, by calling someone who is housebound or dropping them a note in the mail. Think about it. These are just three suggestions, and I know that we can come up with hundreds more good ideas, little things that can make a huge difference. But let there be no doubt about it. God is calling each one of us to do what Jesus did, to care for creation and for each other. But we never walk that path alone. Jesus said, "Follow me." Amen.